Hi, I'm Hattie Crissell, the Acting Features Director of Grazia Magazine. This is Grazia Life Advice, where each week I speak to women worth listening to, asking them to share six pieces of brilliant advice and the worst piece of advice they've ever received. My guest this week is the model, TV host and campaigner Felicity Haywood. You may have seen her, quite a lot of her actually, on the Channel 4 show Naked Beach. You might be a fan of her self-love brings beauty movement, or you might have seen her in campaigns for ASOS or Boohoo, or even on the cover of ID magazine. She rocked up at the Grazia office looking gorgeous in a green trench coat and a bold lip, of course, and shared some brilliant down-to-earth advice. Let us know what you think of the episode on Twitter or Instagram with the hashtag Grazia Life Advice. But for now, over to Felicity. Welcome, Felicity Haywood.
Hello, darling.
It's so lovely to have you here. And you are fresh off our screens from Naked Beach. What has that whole experience been like for you?
Naked Beach has been it's been interesting in a really, really positive way. It's been amazing to see the reaction of people online and in the press, and actually seeing and hearing the positive results that has come from the show.
Yeah. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, and there are still some more episodes to air, just talk us briefly through what you were doing on that show.
So there's myself and seven other hosts, and we are in Mykonos in Greece at this beautiful villa. And every week, three contributors come onto the island. And they all have body hang-ups. So it might be their stretch marks, they might be a certain skin condition, their weight, their height. All these people have an insecurity themselves, and they come on and see us, and we basically take them through these kind of activities that make them kind of understand that there's so much more than they're just their body.
Yeah. Has it been quite a heartwarming thing for you to do then?
Yeah, it has been emotional because, you know, we filmed this last year and we are now watching it back. There's certain bits that we didn't see as hosts.
Of course.
Like their naked homework and the things they're saying offset and online. And it's really nice because I still follow all of them on social media, and you can see like their jobs are different, like they're happier with their families. And
so nice.
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah. And what was it like? Obviously, I'm sure everyone's been asking you this question, but what was it like to be naked on TV? There was body paint involved.
Yes.
But was that an easy thing for you, or did it take a bit of building up to?
Well, the thing is, I've been modelling for 7 years, so kind of the idea of having my body on show is
quite the day job.
It's a kind of a day job, babes, but not being naked as such, you know, being in underwear or getting changed in front of people, or, you know, just feeling comfortable with yourself anyway. Being naked on the show, though, was, you know, it was slightly daunting at the beginning. But you know what? It was quite nice because, you know, the body paint itself was really liberating, because you feel naked, and you technically are naked apart from a few modest patches, mm-hmm, in certain places. Little stickers, you know.
Yeah, modesty stickers, sure. Modesty.
But it was quite nice. We spent maybe 2-3 hours every morning getting painted.
God, yeah.
So by the fourth day, when we were completely starkers on Naked Beach, we actually loved it. And by the end of it, we were like, oh, we wish we were just completely naked every day.
So you're also working on something with the NSPCC at the moment. Tell me about that.
So I've just been invited to go on a school tour hosted by Maya Jama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's all for around Mental Health Week. And we are going to, I think, 2 schools a day.
Yeah.
We're going in to talk to the children about all different areas, mental health, body image, gender, like all the struggles that us as children, we didn't get to talk about these things.
Yeah, that's so
great. And I think
nowadays
you've got the internet and things are a lot more accessible, but it doesn't always necessarily mean that things are necessarily better.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're kind of opening these children to a whole world where, is their body image better because they can see people like me online? Or is their body image worse because they can see the Kardashians online?
Mm.
You know, you can't win. So I think going into schools themselves and actually really reaching out and, you know, Maya taking a big, strong crew of people there, I think it's going to make a good impact.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Do you think you would have benefited from that kind of thing when you were at school?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I remember growing up and being in school and, you know, the plus size woman, anyone that could represent me in the media, in fashion, was like Dawn French.
Yeah.
I love Dawn French. She's amazing. She's
the
babe.
She can't represent everyone. She's can't just one lady.
Do you know what I mean? And it's always the bigger woman is always the funny one.
Yeah.
She's never seen as the sexy one, the confident one, you know, the bossy one.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, whatever trait you want to give them. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's improved a lot, hasn't it? And you're part of that whole movement. And you're very big on social media. You've got thousands and thousands and thousands of followers. Is that kind of interaction with your followers important to you? Is it a big part of your life?
I mean, I definitely think that my followers are like my family, essentially, because I give them a lot of confidence, but equally they bring it back to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I have low days, because I think people that say that they're happy and confident all the time are lying.
No one is.
No one is. And, you know, over the last kind of few weeks, I've had a lot of engagement and comments and stuff because of the show and because of other things. And with that always comes negativity. With that always comes trolling. And there was one brand who reposted one of my pictures. It's a bikini picture. And I got 400 hate messages.
That's awful.
400 hate messages from it. And the absolute beauty about it is that they're all messaging me going, we've seen this and we don't like it. And, you know, this, that and the third. And I'm like, you know, guys, I'm fine. And I really, really appreciate you. You don't realise how much you need your crew as much as they need you.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I think the two things wouldn't exist without each other. People wouldn't be lining up to hate you and criticise you if it weren't for the fact that you are really out there making a difference and you're loved by a lot of people. For some reason that seems to get people's backs up, doesn't
it? It's jealousy and bitterness.
It is jealousy and bitterness.
All the time.
Yeah. On that note, let's move on to your advice. So your first piece of advice, tell me this one.
So some of them are from my friends and family.
Okay.
Right?
So love it.
I was talking to my best friend over the weekend and I said, you know, what's the best piece of advice that you would say? And she said, never going down Tesco without your lippy on. You never know who you're going to meet. And I said, who told you that? She was like, you.
Oh, did you?
So I asked her for advice and actually it was me that said it. But I do remember whenever we would go down shopping, I'd always bump into someone. So I was always like, you can go down in pyjamas, always put a little red lippy on.
Lippy is magic as well, isn't it?
Because
you can really make no effort other than putting a bit of lipstick on and you immediately look like you've thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no problem going down there with no makeup on, you know. I'm on that vibe too, but I just feel like if you want to bring a little element of sass to the supermarket,
yeah,
you could wear pyjamas with the lipstick.
Yeah.
You're good to go.
Have you got like the whole spectrum of lipstick colours or do you wear the same thing day in, day out?
Do you know what? I feel like I have a nude when I'm trying to be like a bronze goddess. Like 90s, kind of like go for the nude.
Love it.
When I'm trying to give a bit of sass, it's a red lip. And then more of a pinky tone when I'm just trying to be like, you know, a bit more chill Felicity.
Yeah. Your second piece of advice comes from your nan. And my nan's never said this to me. So tell me what this is.
My nan told me that you should have a sailor in every port.
That's just great advice. Why did she say this to you?
My nan's been with my granddad for a very long time.
She hasn't got a sailor in every port, then.
She hasn't got a sailor in every port. And I think she wants me to live that life that she might have wanted.
Right.
I love you, granddad. But you can be a bit grumpy sometimes. And I think my nan was just like, I'm the oldest grandchild. And I think a lot of my other cousins have had kids and settled down. And my nan was just like, you know, you travel a lot, darling. You know, you should have a sailor in every port. Make sure that someone's happy everywhere you go. But I mean, it doesn't have to be men or partners. It can be friends as well.
Okay.
But it's just such like a great line of just like, make sure you have a sailor in every port, darling.
She sounds fabulous.
You know, it might be like someone to pick you up from the airport.
That is helpful, yeah.
Yeah. Someone there for you.
Yeah. Is your nan a source of a lot of great advice and inspiration?
She is my biggest inspiration. She makes all her own clothes.
Wow.
She like goes and gets bits down charity shops and redoes them. She's like loves a power suit.
She sounds amazing.
A raspberry power suit or an emerald green with like a sassy little brooch.
She does sound like a source of like style inspiration. Your third piece of advice is always be nice to people on the way up because you'll have to see them on the way down.
Yeah.
What made you want to include that?
I just believe that we all have our own journeys and some people's journeys might be quicker than others. And I think in this industry, I really believe that you should, well, actually in any industry, I feel like being nice is cool. And I think a lot of people forget that. And, you know, if you're on the way up and your career is getting better and you're getting higher up in your office or online or whatever career path you're doing, remember to be nice on the way up and don't let your ego get in, because there is going to be a point where you are going to come down and other people are going to take over. And if you were nasty on the way up, it's going to crash for you on the way down.
Yeah. So what has your way up been like? I mean, I did read you had quite a fabulous story of being scouted. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. You were scouted. Where were you?
I was scouted in an East London pub dancing to Diana Ross and got asked to do a shoot as Anna Nicole Smith.
I mean, amazing.
Yeah.
And how old were you when that happened?
24.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long ago are we talking, roughly?
6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And has that route been a pretty straightforward career progression, or have there been times where you've been like, oh, I'm not quite sure if this is where I want it to be going? Or
I mean, totally. I mean, when I first that time when I did the first shoot is with a photographer called Miles Aldridge, and it was like
mega famous photographer. I mean, by the way,
love him. It was like a crazy hour day, like crazy hour, but I didn't care because I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever done. I actually said yes to the job, to the shoot, because I thought my nan will love this.
Really?
I was like, Nan's going to love these pictures. She's going to have something to talk, you know, to her mates about while she's having a little cheeky gin and tonic. So that's the reason why I did it. Because also, like, there was no one like me out there at the time. There was no, you know, plus size models that had like, well, I mean, there was plus size models maybe on QVC.
Yeah.
There was no editorial girls. There was no one out there in fashion editorials. It was always just one type of model. So I did the shoot. I remember actually on set, we had a wedding cake because we were doing a whole thing for Anna Nicole Smith. So we did her wedding day, this huge like 3-tier wedding cake. And after the shoot, I was like, Miles, like, what are you doing with that cake? He was like, oh, babes, you can have it. So I took the cake, took it home. And then the next day went back to the pub that I was scouted at and took the cake and fed everyone.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. So, I did that. And then I remember at that time I had so many jobs. I'd got a degree in photography. I was working as a barmaid. I was selling vintage clothing. Like, I was doing everything that you can when you live in London and you're hustling.
Yeah.
And I remember I was working a lesbian speed dating night at a bar in Charing Cross. And you're not allowed your phone. Like, so I had it under the table and I was looking through and I got an email from a modeling agency saying, hi, is anyone representing you? And I sent the email around to all my friends. I was like, is someone punking me? Turns out it was the truth.
Of course it was. Yeah.
Got signed and was like, oh, well, this might be fun.
And then has it just been plain sailing?
No, of course it's not been plain sailing. I wish it was. But the problem is, at the time, there wasn't much plus size clothing. So where the money is to be made is commercial. You know, you can do as many editorials as you can under the sun, but we all know that they are not paid. And it got to the point where I was like, well, I feel like I've done the rounds with all the like the cool photographers or whatever, but I still can't afford to pay my rent.
Yeah.
I remember there was a moment when we got thrown out of our house and he was like, you've got 2 weeks to find somewhere else. And I remember me and my best friend Lois, we were so broke that we had stolen a trolley from the supermarket and we'd found a pub to live at down the road, and we were moving all of our stuff in a trolley.
Oh my god.
Up and down the road. And then on my phone I get a notification from Twitter, and this like little shoot that I'd done for ID magazine that like my friend was like egging me to come and be on, The whole time he was keeping it a secret that he was putting me on the cover.
That's incredible. And I've seen that cover and it is fabulous.
Yeah. On the cover, moving all my stuff in a trolley. So
this is the kind of truth of the fashion industry, though, isn't it? It's just because somebody's looking fantastic on the cover of a magazine doesn't mean that they're rolling around in money at home. It's not
rolling around with
a
trolley.
Works. Yeah. So your fourth piece of advice, tell me this one. This is lovely.
So I believe that the perfect body does not exist because there are no two humans on this planet that are the same. So you have to be the best version of yourself and not someone else. And that actually came to me in my friend's bedroom. We're at the seaside and I was like, I'm sick and tired of everyone kind of comparing themselves to each other. And I was like, I need to create something because everything that I do and it's in my blood is about self-love and about just kind of it being unapologetically yourself. And I was like, I just kept saying these quotes and these words. And I was like, if people just understood that self-love brings beauty, then the world would be a better place. And she was like, that's it. That's it. That's what you should be doing. And we started a hashtag online in her bedroom. My best friend's also an illustrator. So she drew my hands in like the heart Aww. Shape, and then we had a logo and hashtag, and I just started it online as just like a bit of a safe space for people to be like, show us yourself, like what do you love about yourself, like what makes you different.
Have you always felt like that? Have you always had that kind of self-esteem? I mean, it's quite admirable. I think not many people have it.
I just think I grew up in a small town called Bury St Edmunds, and I think it literally has come from teenage rebellion and boredom.
Yeah.
I remember I wasn't very popular in school, but I didn't really care because I was interested in music and art and fashion and hanging out with my nan and going charity shopping and kind of like annoying my mum by wearing the most ridiculous outfits. And I guess I was really lucky that I had a lot of love and support from my grandparents. So that's who I kind of felt like I grew up with, you know, and I escaped to London as much as I could. And I really feel that at that point, London was a place where kind of all the weirdos from the small towns are kind of all gathered and we all found each other.
Yeah.
You know, and we were just this big gang of just like, we're going to do what we want. And I think when I was younger, I used clothing as an armor because I always was, you know, a bit curvier than everyone else, or I've always had this big old bum, which I bloody love now.
Yeah.
But, you know, at school, I remember in PE, I couldn't get the PE shorts to fit me and all of that. But now I've grown up and I've gone through the motions and had a good support network and kind of really had faith in myself and my confidence. I use it as an addition to my confidence to kind of enhance it. You know, I'll go down the street wearing a leopard print catsuit because I love my body and I love leopard.
Yeah.
You know, whereas before I might have worn a sequin muumuu.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it's come from. It has come from being small town, boredom, and just kind of wanting to have fun and not listen to others.
Yeah. Well, we need more of that.
But then again, I feel like at that point, we didn't have Instagram. We didn't have all these things. So you didn't feel those pressures as much as people do now. So it's really hard for me to sit here and be like, you know, just do it, because it's really not that easy.
Yeah.
You know, like I've got a younger sister and she feels the pressures from everything online. And, you know, I see her one week and the next week she looks completely different. And I'm just like, I can see that she's going on whatever trend is.
Yeah, trying to figure out where she fits into it all. And this actually ties in really well with your next piece of advice, which is comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
I feel like nowhere encourages comparison these days as much as Instagram does. Yeah, why did you say comparison is the thief of joy?
Again, it is because of the way social media works, and we're all guilty of it, of looking online and seeing someone's kind of like picture that's perfect picture and perfect scenario. And for me, I know personally that that's not always the case because I'm in this industry.
Yeah.
So I know, like, pretty much I can say, like, a person's probably like got an Instagram husband who is, they're on holiday and they're having arguments because he's being made to take all the pictures.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, sometimes, you know, I know that person isn't even at that place.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they've gone to a certain festival and they're not even in the festival, they're just in the surroundings.
Yeah.
You know, and it is really difficult. I think I've always kind of stood by the fact that I have always been quite real online, and there will be photos of me in a big silky frock on the 2p machines, because generally I do dress up when I go to the arcades. Like, I would, like, if I'm there,
course,
I'm,
why wouldn't you?
I'm generally, I'm trying to get win key rings,
right?
You know, or there might be, you know, in a catsuit in the supermarket. Like, I tried to keep it very real, because I think it's important to show when you have influence online and you have a following. And for me personally, like, I'm trying to show everyone that there is confidence in us all, and to try and, like, leash, you know, get that out of your system to be who you want to be. You might want to be shy, and if you want to be shy, that's cool.
Yeah.
But don't be shy because other people are making you feel bad.
Yeah.
You know, and I want people to look at my page and be like, oh, she's got that type of body, she's wearing that. And also, she's not just posing up against a wall in an undisclosed place. She is actually on the streets wearing that.
Yeah.
And if she can do that, I can. If she can go and buy a fruit and veg in platform shoes and a sequin jacket, like, so can I.
Yeah, and you don't need, like, a superstar lifestyle to be, like, cool and stylish.
No.
Just get on with it. So your sixth piece of good advice, a little bit controversial, coming from you. Don't become a model.
Yeah.
Why did you say that?
I actually think that's a good piece of advice, because I get so many messages daily about people like, I want to become a model, I want to do this, I want to do that. I wish I could tell everyone, find something that you really, really love doing. Find a hobby, or, you know, study. Find something that is going to give you longevity in your career. Modeling, you can model for 5 minutes, you can model for 5 years. If you're lucky enough, you can model for a few decades.
Yeah.
But the reality is it's a really fast-paced industry that is built on beauty standards, you know, and it is really hard. It has been really tough for me and for a lot of other people. And I just think, people look online and they see what they think is glamorous and they see what the life is. They don't see the models struggling every beginning of the tax year, you know, and loads of other incredibly stressful things that happen. And I think nowadays brands are opening up to using people that have their own identity and personality and something to say. So brands are working with people that are, you know, a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have other influencers that may be like a doctor or someone that's like a different activist, or, you know, don't choose modeling, choose having your own voice and stand for something, and these other opportunities will come to you.
Yeah.
But I just think it's such a false thing to say to people, you should try modeling, it's fun. It's not fun, it is stressful, and you have to be extremely lucky to be at the right place at the right time, like I was.
Yeah.
To kind of really push your career. And I just think there's so many, like, so much stress around it, around mental health as well, because you're literally being told you're good enough by appearance and measurements.
Yeah.
That's not normal.
No, it's not. I think you have to have a very solid sense of who you are and a thick skin to get through that.
You know, you might be lucky, but I want to be real with people. I don't want to be like, oh yeah, become a model and do this and you'll get to go on all these trips and get all to do all these things. It's like, yeah, it's hard work.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being so honest about it. I think that's, you know, people need that, and not everyone's willing to say the reality of their job. So what is the worst piece of advice you've ever received?
That I need to lose weight to get a career.
Who told you that? Let's not name names for legal reasons.
Let's not name names, but I mean, you know, there've been points in my career where people have said, like, you know, you need to lose weight, otherwise you won't make it. And there was a point in my career that I was like, oh, you know, I'm not making any money, and maybe if I do shed some pounds, I will be like that girl next door, and maybe if I should dye my hair, you know, a darker blonde or a brown, and like dress a bit more.
Change who you are.
Just
basically.
Change who I am and just kind of be that. I'd be so number one, I'd be so unhappy because I wouldn't be myself. And number two, like, to lose a lot of amount of weight very quickly is going to cause, you know, potential eating disorders, you know, and it's going to affect your mental health. So to do all of that just to get a bit of extra cash. And I was just like, no. Like I know I'm going to be unhappy if I change myself. And I stuck by my guns. And actually, it was difficult for a couple of years. I wasn't making much money. But then the situation happened where brands started to be like, we want voices. We want real people. We want personalities. And actually, it kind of flipped it on its head. And I was like, I'm so glad that I, you know, stayed true to myself. And if I had listened to that advice, I wouldn't be where I am now.
Yeah.
Don't listen to other people's opinions about your weight.
I love that. Okay. Don't listen to other people's opinions about your weight, and don't go to Tesco without putting lipstick on. It's the big takeaways from this from this interview. You've been brilliant. Thank you so much for all your advice.
Thanks for having me, babe.
Thanks so much to Felicity Hayward. If you liked the interview, you will love her Instagram at Felicity Hayward, which is giving me serious wardrobe envy. I hope you're loving the Grazia Life Advice podcast. If so, please help us out by subscribing, rating it, reviewing it, or sharing it. See you next week for more advice from women worth listening to.